This is Bill Tilford from Timba.com, and we're here this morning with Arturo Sandoval. And Arturo, you're in Minnesota right now, is that correct?
We're in Minneapolis, yes.
Minneapolis, okay.
Yes, sir.
And you're coming to Chicago, which is my hometown, in a couple of days.
At
Lincolnshire, at the Viper Alley. What are you bringing us on Friday? How large is your group?
We're five altogether.
Okay.
There'll be a quintet, jazz quintet, and great musicians, a great band, and I'm very pleased and happy and proud to share stay with those guys every night. All gonna be Chick McNeil on saxophone, Alexis Arce on drums, Dennis Mars on the bass, Manuel Valera on the piano.
Okay. And what kind of material are you going to be doing? Is this new stuff, or did you have a recent CD, or...?
Yeah, of course, I've got a recent CD, yes. Which, by the way, we won a couple of Grammys, the last one.
And the name of that would be...
A Time for Love.
A Time for Love.
Yes. And I'm going to do the thing I have been doing for the last 30 years. I don't concentrate one little thing or one project or one record or whatever. No, I play what I play, you know. I go to jump the stage and I feel very confident. I'm extremely free to do whatever whatever we feel in the mood to play. And this is what we propose to the audience, you know. If they like it, we go bless. We love it. But we have to be happy doing what we're doing on the stage. That's the first priority. We must enjoy what we're doing. And this is the only priority I follow on the stage. We have to enjoy and be very happy doing what we're doing. And then that kind of feeling, if we're lucky, we're going to be able to transmit that and share that kind of feeling with the audience. That's the whole idea. But I don't concentrate in any particular material at all.
Okay.
We play music.
Okay. I'd like to turn on the time machine for a moment and take you back to your childhood, if I could. I've seen you on stage a few times, and you probably could have played any number of instruments very well.
I don't think so. I play the trumpet, I play the piano, a little bit of percussion. Mm-hmm. This is it.
Well, thinking back to where you were before you settled in as a trumpeter, as a child, what was it that made you choose the trumpet, that made you say, this is it, this is going to be my instrument?
Well, yeah, it's very simple. It's the sound of the instrument, the sound, the personality of the instrument was really cultivate me, you know.
Was there anyone in particular that you heard play that really made you say, wow, this is who I want to be?
Well, in the very beginning, no, because I grew up in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the countryside of the island. Right. And there wasn't any good trumpet players at all. But later on, I went to Havana, and then I went to the National School of Art, and then I started to listen to people who really are. I learned and I admired them very much. One of them was Luis Escalante, and then I met another trumpeter in Havana, which really I appreciate and I admire what they did. But later on, I start to hear the radio, the shortwave radio, the Voice of America, Mr. Willis
Conover. Yes.
Willis Conover. Oh man, I God bless his memory, because I met him several times after that. Thank God, I met him and we talked and I explained to him how much we love him, how much we listen to his program on a daily basis. And how much we learn, listen to his program. And we owe to Willie a lot of things, you know, because...
Yes, he was probably one of America's most important radio programs. I used to listen...
Yeah, he really promoted jazz very well, and God bless his heart.
Yeah. This kind of leads us into my next question, which is, if you can remember, think back here, how old were you when you first heard straight-ahead jazz?
Oh, yeah.
And was there a specific band or song that
made
you
say... Oh, yeah, I remember that. I was... In the very beginning, I started playing, like... I was in a little marching band in my village, playing those march of things. And then I started to play... straight to the school of music to get a classical, strictly classical training. And I was in school for 3 years. So far, I never hear any jazz till that point. I never hear any jazz at all. And then, when I started playing with the Orquesta Cubana de Música Moderna in 1967, a journalist who was a jazz aficionado, and he played saxophone a little bit, he talked to me and said, "Hey, you ever hear the jazz?" I said, "No, what's that?" He said, "Come with me." And then he made me hear a recording of Dizzy Gillespie and Charlie Parker from 1946, 46, 47. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I said, "Oh my goodness, I don't know what's that. I never heard that before, but I would love to learn that." And this is what I have been doing for the last, I don't know, 40 something years, trying to learn how to play bebop. Mm-hmm. And I'm still in the middle of the process.
Now, a lot of Americans first became familiar with you for your work with Ira Carey, but those of us who are really hardcore, like myself, were aware that you played with Música Moderna. Were there any other musical projects you were in before Ira Carey that left recordings that a serious collector might go...
I don't think so. I was playing with La Cabana, I was playing in the Tropicana, famous nightclub, I was playing there too, and I was playing in, you know, in bands locally in Havana, in cabarets and nightclubs and things like that, but no recording, no.
And you were one of the founding members of Ira Carey, correct?
Actually, as I told you before, we started to play together. Mm-hmm. Chucho, Paquito, Carlos Emilio, all of us, we were playing together since 1967 in that big Orquesta Cubana. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we made a decision to to leave the band and put together a smaller band to play different kind of music and have a little more opportunity to improvise and do some things and different things. Create our own sound, our own music and stuff, and that was the creation of Ira Carey. But of course, I was there even before the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, to be honest, we started together, and mm-hmm. we did the whole thing together, and I was there until 1980,
mm-hmm.
which was like around, I was in the band for 7 years or something. And Paquito was the first who left the band. He left the band and left the country.
Mm-hmm.
Then right after, I left the band and I put together my own band. And that was it. From 1980, I've been having my own band under my name.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I have been doing monthly.
Yeah. Before we jump to the present, I'd like to ask you one more question about that period, and that concerns some of the rhythms that you were using when you were... That band was doing two different things. It was doing some what would be called Afro-Cuban jazz here, but it was also doing some dance music, and I frequently saw the labels Batun Bata and Son Bata applied to some of your dance tracks. Could you talk just a little about that?
Yeah, you know, that was the inclusion of the Bata.
Uh-huh.
Because before that, probably, I don't believe any band used Bata in the formation to play popular music or dance music. Because Bata was very related, very close to the religion kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people, according to my knowledge, they not even were allowed to bring the Bata out of that context.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was a kind of, according to the religion, was a kind of a sacrilege, you know. But we took a risk and we did it, and the combination really made some impression on a lot of people, and still, the people still using that kind of sound and that kind of combination, you know, with the Bata, mm-hmm. with the drums and other rhythm and stuff. Which never was done before.
Yeah.
To include a batard in this kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, What were dance audiences doing to this at the time? Were they dancing the conventional dances like this?
Yeah, conventional dancing. It doesn't affect the regular beat, you know.
Okay.
It's like enhance the beat.
Okay. Let's jump forward into what you've been doing more recently
now. I'm so happy.
You mentioned that you had a recent CD, A Time for Love. Now that you have that under your belt, are you working on any new projects?
As we speak, we're working in my new project. We're going to be a big band record. And we have mostly of the recording done already. Now we're in the process of editing and adding some solos and stuff, and we're going to start mixing pretty soon. It's a tribute to Dizzy Gillespie, the big band record.
So this will be primarily material that he played, or will it be a combination of that? And
it's going to be primarily Dizzy's composition.
Okay.
And fancy composition that made him famous, and you know, his own composition.
Okay. How far out are you, do you think, from completion on that? Will that be out within the year, or...? Excellent. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
You've done most of what there is to do in jazz, actually, so we could, in theory, talk for hours about that and won't. The one question I'm left with, looking over all the work you've done, is there anything that you would consider to be unfinished business, something that you'd really like to do that you haven't done yet? Ask you to put on your composer's hat for just a moment, and since your next project involves Diz, I'd like to paraphrase something that he was fond of saying, which that was that eventually the various types of musics and rhythms around the world were going to be coming together a lot more closely. And since you've been a pioneer on pushing some of these fusions, is there something out there that you see as the next frontier? Something that hasn't been mixed or fused together that you see coming down the pike? Case in point, just as an example of what I'm talking about, in the last few years, some very good Puerto Rican jazz musicians such as William Cepeda and Edwin Clemente have, I think, finally cracked the code on being able to fuse the bomba with jazz and actually make it work well on both sides.
That's good. Good for that.
Is there anything that you see coming out there that is like that that we haven't heard yet? But
oh, no, I wish I got the magic ball. Ball, but I don't have it. No, to be honest, no. I, and I, if I tell you anything about be speculating on, you know, I really don't know, to be honest now.
Okay.
Man, I'm so busy, I have so many things to do, and I'm doing so many things, and I'm so grateful I moved to Los Angeles, because I'm so busy there, I'm writing music, and scoring in movies, and I'm playing in scoring for movies, and I'm teaching. Now I got a full job in the USC in a university, and I do so many things that I don't have that time to really investigate so deeply about what's going on with some Latino rhythm at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't have that time at this moment.
Since you're teaching,
I have been teaching for so many years. By the way, I retired from Florida International, FIU, Florida International University in Miami. I just retired last year after 19 years of for tenure professor there.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But now I have a new position in the USC, which is the University of South California.
Do you have any protégés that we should be watching out for that are coming?
You know, yes and no. No, I don't have any name in particular, but it's a lot of people really, you know, they got a good intention, they got the discipline, they got the desire to do it, and then we share a lot of things in common, and they come to my house very often, and, you know, to get lessons and stuff, and it's a lot of people out there who really love music and want to continue that tradition of people who has been dedicated to the music with a lot of passion and respect.
Thank you very much, Arturo, and we look forward to seeing you at the Viperelli Friday.
Another couple of shows tonight here in Dakota, which is a very nice jazz club. Last night was beautiful, very nice audience. We're looking forward to that again.
Mm-hmm.